2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5. And as we begin, we bow our heads, looking to God for help. We remain seated. Righteous Father, as we begin to meditate upon Thy holy word, we pray that Thou wouldst give to us a double portion of that spirit of wisdom and revelation. May He so fill our hearts that each one of us individually and all of us collectively may be known as a people who tremble at the word of the living God. Give to us that sense of reverence and fear, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you think you are? Who do you really think you are? And who do I think I am? The story is told of some Australian naval sailors who were on their first visit to Great Britain, and their ship was docked in the south of England, and on their day off they decided to hit the bright lights of the big city of London. And after a night of revelry, they were less than sober. And unknown to them, they had travelled from Piccadilly Circus to Green Park Tube Station. But they were lost, and they did not know how to get back to base. And as the sun was slowly rising up in London that morning, they saw a man whose attire was familiar to them. And so they went up to this man and they said to him, "Sir, where are we?" They did not know that this man was a high-ranking officer in the British Army. And when the British officer saw the dirty and disheveled Australian sailors, he was outraged. Straightening himself, he said to them, "Do you know who I am?" The Australian sailors were stunned into silence, and slowly one of them recovered, and looking at his colleagues, he said to them, "Now we are in real trouble. We don't know where we are, and he doesn't know who he is." I wonder if you know who you actually are. Who are you? This passage in 2 Kings chapter 5 tells us that there are only three groups of people, and that each one of us here this evening belongs to one of these three groups. The first group is the outsiders. The second group is the insiders, and the third group is the pretenders. The outsiders, the insiders, and the pretenders. We begin in chapter 5 at verse 1. We are told that there was a man called Naaman, and he was a commander of the army of the king of Syria. And this man was great and honorable in the eyes of his master, because by him Jehovah had given victory to Syria. This man was mighty in valor, but he was a leper. This man called Naaman was an outsider. In terms of his spirituality, he was outside a living relationship with Almighty God. You see, he was a Syrian and he lived in Syria. And in that culture, in those days, the deities were thought to be territorial. And so if you lived in Syria, you worshipped the Syrian god. And if you lived in Palestine, you worshipped the god of the Palestinians. Gods were thought to be territorial. They were not thought to be supreme or sovereign over all people in all places for all time. And so this man was a Syrian and he worshipped the god of the Syrians. He was an alien to the commonwealth of Israel. He was a stranger to the God of Israel, Jehovah, the living God. And you notice this in verse 11. In his own words, he says, Naaman became furious and went away and he said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah, his God. Speaking of Elisha, he says, it is his God. Jehovah is not my God. The God of Israel is not my God. It is the God of Israel. It is the God of Elisha. It is not the God of Naaman. In terms of spirituality, he was an alien, a stranger to Jehovah, the one true and living God. But in terms of his identity, you see in verse 1, who are you, Naaman? If you and I had asked, he would have replied, I am the commander of the army of Syria. But who are you, Naaman? He would have said, I am a man who is great and honorable in the eyes of the king of Syria. But who are you really, Naaman? He would have said, I am a man mighty in valor. You see, he got his identity from what he had achieved, from who his friends were. His education, his training, his accomplishments in the war and in the battles. This is what gave him a sense of identity. And so he thought he knew who he was, but he actually didn't. A man who spiritually was a stranger to the living God. A man whose identity was derived from what he had done and who his friends were. And the third thing that we notice about Naaman was that he was a man who was so proud and disobedient to the word of God. And so he comes, we are told he was a leper who was unclean. And in verse 2, there was, we are told, a young girl from Israel who was serving in Naaman's house. And she was a servant girl to Naaman's wife. And this girl had heard about the prophet Elisha, and she says to her mistress, if only my master would listen to me, if only he would go to the land of Israel, and if he would go to the prophet of God, the man of God, that man of God is able to heal my master. Naaman comes to hear about this, and he brings that news to the king of Syria. And the king of Syria gives him permission, and he goes with a letter signed by the king himself. And he arrives in the courts in the palace of the king of Israel. And the king of Israel is trembling because he does not understand that he is able to do great things because of his God. And he says in verse 7, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. But Elisha hears this news, And he sends word to the king and he says, please let him come to me in verse 8. Then he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And so in verse 9, Naaman arrives at Elisha's door. Elisha refuses to go out. Instead, he sends out a messenger in verse 10 and says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Notice Naaman's response in verse 11. He became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah his God and wave his hand over the place and heal me of my leprosy. Naaman was an outsider because spiritually he was living outside a relationship with the living God. In terms of his identity, he got his self-worth and his significance from what he had done and the people that he knew. And the third thing about Naaman was his idolatry. And that idolatry made him angry, and that idolatry made him a proud individual. And so he's furious because he says, I expected Elisha to come out. I expected him to respect me. I expected him to respect me for who I am and what I have done. I expected him to touch me, to pray for me, to see me in my face, and to speak to me. But he refused to do any of these things, and so I am offended. You see, my friends, when you and I are not worshipping the one true God, we are always worshipping ourselves. All idolatry is, in the final analysis, man worshipping himself. We are worshippers of ourselves if we are not worshippers of the one true God. All idolatry is self-worship. If this evening you and I are strangers to Christ, if you and I are not living in a vital relationship with the living God, then the fact of the matter is this: you and I are worshipping ourselves. Sometimes we worship ourselves with boots, with wood, with stone, and with sticks. Other times we worship ourselves with nature and the spiritual realm. And yet other times other people worship themselves by sitting in a church, in a pew, in a church. Wherever it is done, in whatever fashion it is done, all idolatry is ultimately man and women worshipping themselves. And Naaman was so outraged, he was so furious, he was offended because Elisha had not bowed down in worship before Naaman. Elisha had not shown the respect that Naaman craved for himself. And so the thing about outsiders is that spiritually they are alienated from the living God. Their identity is derived from what they have, the friends they know, and the work that they do, their accomplishment, their education, and all such things. And in terms of idolatry, they are worshippers of themselves. And is that not the case even in our society for us today? How often you and I get our identity from the cars we drive, the houses that we live in, the kitchens that we have, the clothes that we wear, the work that we do, the families that we have. We get our identity from other people, from other things, from the achievements of our own hands. Let me remind you, you are an outsider, not an insider. But the wonderful thing about this story is that this outsider becomes an insider. This outsider is transformed by the power of God. And so we are told when he had turned away in rage, his servants came and they pleaded with him in verse 13. My father, they said, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Now Naaman listens to them because he is desperate. So we are told in verse 14, he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Do you see what's happening? Come with me to the banks of the River Jordan. Do you see the chariot and do you see the horses? They came from the king of Syria. And do you see the servants of Naaman standing by the bank? They are all clothed. They are all clean. They are not lepers. But come into the water. Do you see one man? And do you see just one man standing by himself? And there you see, do you not, that as Naaman prepares to go down into the water, he removes the medals from his chest. He removes his uniform. And there he is stripped naked. And there he goes into the water. And there he stands all by himself. All his achievements are removed from him. All the authority that came from his uniform is taken away from him. And he stands stark naked before the living God and before the seeing world. And as he sees, what does he see? He sees that he is not half as good as his servants. His servants are clean. He is unclean. His servants are healthy. He is unhealthy. He is the leper. He is less. Suddenly this man is humiliated, and in the process of humiliation, Naaman is humbled. Perhaps for the first time in many years, he begins to recognize that he is not so great after all, that he is not better than others after all, that his servants had something that he did not have. The pride is removed from him. The arrogance is taken away from him. And as Naaman goes into the water and he dips himself 7 times in obedience to the word of God, he is restored. His flesh becomes that of a little child and he is clean. And so he comes back to the man of God and he says in verse 16, as the Lord lives, before verse 15, he returned to the man of God, he and all his servants, and came and stood before him and he said, indeed now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. This man became an insider. This outsider became an insider because now he had a living relationship with the Most High God. This man who was once proud was now humbled. And look at the way he says in verse 17, then if you do not take gifts from me, he says, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth. For your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to Jehovah. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this one thing. The man who was once guilty of idolatry, the man who had once worshipped himself, now bowed down his knees before Jehovah, the maker of heaven and earth. And it is quite remarkable that the man who once got his identity from the things that he had and the things he had done, suddenly discovered that he was just another human being, that he was a creature of dust, and that he was standing before Almighty God. And so he no longer got his identity from what he had or from what he had done. He got his identity from the image of God that he bore as a creature of the living God. He got his identity, his sense of worth, his sense of significance from what God had done for him. And that's the remarkable thing that happens when you and I become Christians. All our lives we are craving the acceptance of other people. We want other people to love us. We want other people to like us. And we spend all our days seeking the approval and the acceptance of other people. And so often they accept us, but sometimes they reject us, and we become sad. But when you and I become Christians, we discover that God in heaven accepts us. And when you and I have found the acceptance of Almighty God, we no longer care about the acceptance of other people. If God has accepted us, what does it matter if other people refuse to accept us? But if you and I have not found the acceptance of the living God, then you and I are always fearful. You and I are always seeking our identity from the passing things of this world. And so I say to you, my sisters and brothers, as I say to myself, who do you really think you are? Are you an outsider? One who is guilty of idolatry, worshipping oneself, one who gets his or her identity from the things of this world and the passing pleasures of time, one who is spiritually alienated from life in the living God. Are you an outsider? You don't have to be. You can be an insider. One who has a living relationship with the living God. One who gets his or her identity not from what I have or what I have done, but because God in heaven accepts me through Jesus Christ. That's my approval, and that's the only acceptance that I need. And one who does not worship himself or herself, but worship the God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Who do you think you really are? Are you an outsider or are you an insider? But there is a third group, and we'll look at this very briefly. There is a third group, and they are the pretenders, those who are actors and those who spend all their life pretending to be something that they are not. And we see this from verse 20 onwards in a man called Gehazi. We are told that he is a servant of Elisha in verse 20, and he is disappointed that his master Elisha has not received any of the good things that came from Naaman. And so he decides that he will put this to right. And he pursues Naaman, we are told in verse 20. And look at it. Look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he has brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. Naaman comes off his chariot, and he listens to all that Gehazi has to say, the lies that Gehazi has to say, and he gives him some of the good things that Naaman has brought with him. And you know what you and I can see from Gehazi? You know who these pretenders are? They use the name of God. They use the word of God. They use the people of God. And they use the church of God. But they always use it not for the glory of God, but for the good of their selfish desires. You see, Gehazi was using the name of God. In verse 20 he says, as Jehovah lives. And he goes and he uses the name of his master, the man of God. In verse 22 he says, my master has sent me, when his master had not sent him. And he uses the name of the people of God. He says, two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Let me put it to you in a slightly different way. And some sociologists in more recent times have put it this way. They have said that there are two groups of people in the church. There are the insiders, of course, as we have seen, but there are also pretenders sitting in the church. And the way some sociologists have put it these days is like this. They said there are two religious systems within the church. There is Christianity and there is churchianity. Christianity is full of people who follow Christ. Churchianity is filled with people who follow the church. They follow what the church teaches. It is not the teaching of Christ that they seek, it is the teaching of the church. They are able to use the name of God, they are able to use the word of God, they are able to use the people of God and the church of Jesus Christ, but they use it always for their own good and for their selfish desires. And so they appear to be respectable. They appear to be moral. They appear to be superior. But all the time, they are devoid of a living relationship with the living God. And make no mistake, Gehazi knew the word of God. He knew the name of God. He was a servant of the man of God. And he knew the people of God. But he was an outsider. And so we are told in verse 27, therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence, leprous, as white as snow. Using the name of God, the word of God, the people of God, and the church of God. Yet never for the glory of God, but always for my own selfish desire. I am not an insider. I am simply deceiving myself. I am a hypocrite. I am a pretender. I am an actor. I am an outsider acting like an insider. But there is a day coming when all will be revealed and every hidden thing will be exposed. When you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you and I will be exposed for what we really are. For every pretender is an outsider, a stranger to God in Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, and it is my duty to press you, my friend, who do you think you are? Are you an outsider? Are you a pretender? Or is it possible that you are an insider? An outsider is spiritually devoid with the life of God in his soul. An outsider gains his identity from what he has and what he has done. An outsider is one who is guilty of idolatry, worshipping himself or herself. But an insider has got the life of God in the soul of man. An insider is one who is humble, not proud. An insider is one who worships the one true and living God. But one final question. How does an outsider become an insider? How does an outsider become an insider? Well, I'll give you the answer very briefly. It is in verse 1 of chapter 5. You see, in the description of Naaman at the end, we are told he was a leper. He was a leper. The problem with leprosy was not just that it was a contagious disease. It was not just that it was a physical illness. The problem with it was that it isolated you socially and spiritually. You were deemed unclean. You were deemed an outcast. You could not live in human society. You could not be part of the life of the community because the disease was contagious. You were unclean and outcast. But it also alienated you spiritually because in the ancient church, lepers were not allowed to come into the presence of God. They were thought to be unclean. They were outcasts of that society. And you know why and how Naaman was healed that day? Do you know where the power came for the healing of Naaman's leprosy? I'll tell you this. The outsider became an insider. Because thousands of years later, there was an insider who became an outsider. Jesus was the ultimate insider. He was from all eternity with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From all eternity, love flowed from the Father to the Son, and the Son reciprocated that love to his Father. And from all eternity, they had dwelled in that love of the God. But in the fullness of time, God gave his only Son. And the Son, who was the ultimate insider, took the form of a servant. And he humbled himself even to death on a cross. To die on a cross was to die the death of a curse. They thought that he was unclean. They condemned him as an outcast and they crucified him outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And the reason why Naaman was healed of his leprosy that day was because Jesus became the leper in the place of Naaman. The outsider became the insider. Because Jesus, the ultimate insider, became the outsider in the place of Naaman. And my sisters and brothers, the only way that you and I can become insiders with God is when you and I recognize that we are born as outsiders because of our sin. And the only way that God accepts us is through the cross of Jesus Christ. And when we bow our knees before him, then he washes us of all that is unrighteous from within us, and he makes us righteous and acceptable before God. And so as I close, may I ask you just one more time, who do you think you are? Are you an outsider? Are you an insider? Or are you a pretender? May God in heaven give to us the grace to be insiders this day and every day. We conclude by singing from Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And we sing here verses 19 to 24. Psalm 139. This is the destiny of the outsiders and the pretenders. Thou, Lord, will sure the wicked slay, hence from me, bloody men, thy foes against thee loudly speak, and take thy name in vain. Do not I hate all those, O Lord, that hatred bear to thee, with those that up against thee rise, can I but grieve it be. With perfect hatred them I hate, my foes I them do hold. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, my thoughts unfold. And will you pray that prayer this evening, that God will search your heart and my heart, that he will unfold our thoughts before us. And verse 24, and see if any wicked way there be at all in me, and in thine everlasting way to me a leader be. Will you pray that if you and I are outsiders and pretenders, that God will make Jesus the captain of our salvation and make us insiders of God through him. Psalm 139, we sing verses 19 to 24 and we stand to sing to God's praise. Father in heaven, every day of this week and every day of every week until the final breath in our bodies, we pray that thou would search our hearts, every crevice of it, that thou wouldst unfold our thoughts to us and show us who we truly are. Forgive us for the periods when we have been outsiders. Forgive us for the long periods when we have been pretenders. But make each one of us here this evening, and all those whom we love, to be insiders of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.